When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley and Casey Keller. We'll kick things off in the Premier League. We expected goals, didn't we, at Anfield? In the end, there were six of them. Liverpool scoring the first of four. They completely outplayed a struggling Spurs side who rallied late on, but two late goals weren't enough to see them take anything from the game as Liverpool win 4-2. Just taking a look at what that means in the table. Of course, Liverpool out of the title race. But good news for Aston Villa, despite the fact they lost against Brighton. They are 7 points ahead of Spurs with three games to play. Frank Leboeuf joins us as we reflect on this game. And
he doesn't want to get booked, Jurgen Klopp. Did you hear that on the commentary?
No, I didn't know.
He gets booked in the next game.
Right.
On the touchline.
He has a touchline ban.
He has to spend his last game.
I didn't hear that, no.
At Anfield in the stands.
Right.
So I'm sure he's aware of
he
that.
He could just be in the cop end with everyone else. He'd love it.
That's actually a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. You'd enjoy it much more than on the sideline.
People would be upset by that, wouldn't they? Oh, look at that. He's just trying to be a man of the people.
He's not taking his ban seriously. Liverpool, of course, nice win for them after what's been a rough few weeks, but Spurs has got to be the story.
Yeah, it's just a shame for Liverpool they hit the buffer when they did.
Right. That's four straight defeats now.
I think Spurs is a story, right? And they're falling away. But I look, I'm not making any excuses here for the manager, but it's his first year, right? And I had a little tit for tat. I'll mention him again, Johnny Blaine, the guy, the stats fella from London, who touched upon on the show last week. Big Tottenham fan. But I see a lot of this from Tottenham fans. And for me, there's an unbelievable recency bias. And if this had been the other way around, and Spurs had started the season terribly and came like a train instead of doing what they were doing at the start of the season when people were getting carried away, I think everybody would have been okay. But where I have a problem is, yes, they're in bad form. Yes, they're a shadow of the side that played the first 6 months of the season. But I see these Tottenham fans going, oh, he's been found out, Postecoglou. Oh, it's back to how it was. Oh, it's terrible. And I'm like, this is modern day supporters.
Right.
It is modern day supporters in a nutshell. These people think that you're going to come in, take over a side that was an absolute horrendous watch, that get rid of Harry Kane in the transfer window and have a new manager in, who, by the way, most of the Spurs fans didn't want because we're Ange Hill, he's not good enough for our club. And they're going to finish probably fifth, and they finished eighth last year, and they played great football. So I don't understand where they thought they should be. That's my point.
What's the number one outlier of how well a team does in all pro sports? It's how much you spend. The four teams they just lost to all spend more money than Tottenham.
For me, that's...
And then you're arguing that you should be beating the teams that are outspending you. But that's my problem.
Is it the manner of the defeats? That's the problem.
No, I think more it is modern-day supporters, not them all, a lot of them, just get carried away. When they saw how Tottenham were playing at the start of the season and they were up near the top of the... I can't remember if they were top.
Yeah, they were top. 10 games.
I can't remember how it all sort of panned out. And I think they just thought... And we all said, most of us on this show said, listen, this will not last. The squad's not deep enough. They're not ready for this, but this is great. It's great to watch. The trouble is a lot of supporters are like, oh, Arsenal, they might win the league and we've dropped out. When you're a manager, you go in there, you think, right, transfer window, we do a bit of business, we play the season out, we get progression, which they're going to get. They're progressing in terms of their league position from last year. They're much better to watch. If we're sitting here next year and Spurs are going back the way, then I think there are more questions for the manager.
Right.
But at this point, I get it. They've got City coming up. They could get walloped. I understand there's a frustration. But modern day supporters really need to give their head a wobble, particularly those that think Spurs are going to be competing with Liverpool, Arsenal and Man City after 10 months in charge of this guy. I mean, get real. It's just not going to happen.
Frank, it's defensively, isn't it, that we've seen Spurs so vulnerable of late. What's going wrong?
It is, but it's not due to maybe Vicario or the four defenders. It's due to the whole team, who doesn't put every ingredients to make sure they're going to defend. And you attack at 11, you defend at 11. I think they left it. They lost it. They don't want to put everything to make sure they're going to finish well this season. But it doesn't exist in any club that you are the top and you stay at the top and you are fantastic for 10 months. It doesn't exist. And we saw that with Arsenal last season when they went down. You need to adapt to a new coach, to a new system. And they did, as Craig said, and Casey alluded as well, they didn't spend too much money. They lost Kane. And they had overall a very good season. Yes, it's frustrating what we see right now because you are expecting much more. And maybe Postecoglou will have to rethink the way of playing his football because asking to give the pressure for 90 minutes, it's impossible. So they get tired. It's maybe they're paying the season right now, and it's why they're not as good as they were. And defending, he has more effort than when you attack. And that's what it is nowadays for Tottenham. They're suffering. It's... they wish they would be at the end of the season to secure the fifth spot, which is overall very good. But saying that they have a defensive problem, they had many chances to score at the end of the game. And they were at some point very clumsy. So it's everything. And pointing some details and some weakness, I think is not fair to the season that they did. And to overall what they are suffering from. I think it's all fact.
I think they've found the level, haven't they, at this moment in time? Until they go and do better business and he outs some of these players that he's inherited, obviously, as most managers do, I think they've found the level. The problem is, and I go back to it, is supporters, when the highs are here, they don't understand why the lows come. They can't understand where the lows come from the highs, and I think it's just all sort of ironing itself out. And in my opinion, maybe I'm wrong, maybe other people see it differently, maybe some people think they should be in that mix after a few months in charge with this squad. I think what he was doing was getting more out of them. Mm. Well, he clearly was. He was getting much more out of them than most other managers, and that's why fans got carried away. But look, even up in Scotland, they say at Celtic, and I'm only hearing this from some of the journalists, the criticism was, after a while, it started to go a little stale. Now, he's going to have to figure that out. There's no doubt this season has gone a little bit stale at the end. And that's something that ultimately he's going to have to figure out. But for me, where they are is their level at this moment in time.
Well, you have to find players who like to play a particular way. Now, everyone has a style. Everyone has their strengths and weaknesses. And what's always difficult for a manager is to say, hey, Craig, I know you like to play this way, but I need you to do this for me. Okay, I can do that for a game, a match or two, but I'm not doing it the whole season because I'm 30 years old. I kind of have a way that the way I play. So when you need somebody to do that, you got to buy them.
Right.
Buy them and put a player in position that does exactly what they want to do, and that's what you want them to do. So if you want to press everything, 90 minutes, then you better go find three N'Golo Kantes to be in your midfield and run and run and run and run and run. But then when you have a couple other pieces, hey, can you do this for me? Okay, I'll do it, but this isn't who I am. This is going to come back to haunt you at some
look
stage.
Look, I for one, I'm looking at them. I look at Spurs and I think, do you know what? I'd be quite excited about next year, bearing in mind what they might do in the transfer window. Look at last year, just to name a couple of players in the back four, Van de Ven and Adoghi. Adoghi's out now for the season. He's injured. He's been a big player for them. Those two guys come in, most people wouldn't even have batted an eyelid and gone, oh, yeah, so what? Adoghi and Van de Ven. Been brilliant. And so, I mean, I'm not saying that's down to Postecoglou, they have a recruitment behind, but I think they will go out and they will explore the markets that are a little bit cheaper as they do. And And listen, as I said, it'll be a results-based assessment, probably around Christmas time next year. That's where he knows that. Postecoglou, he knows it. He knows when he was at Celtic, it was easier. Really had one team to beat, and that was Rangers, in terms of a head-to-head. And he knows it's going to be much tougher now, and he knows a lot of, I would imagine, a lot of the end-of-the-season stuff has not been good enough. And he's going to have to address it. But I would be pretty happy, surely, if I was a Tottenham fan, right, that we're going in the right direction. It was an exciting season. It's petered out. But I would be hopeful next year he will fix those things. It's a bit like De Zerbi at Brighton. It's been a topsy-turvy season for them. He's not turned into a bad manager all of a sudden after this. You know, they were riding really high and they went out of Europe. I think it's the same thing here for Postecoglou. Whether he's going to be as good down the road as what Klopp was and maybe what Arteta is, and we'll see how he gets on, maybe he won't be that man. I don't know. But I would be quite happy to keep him at my club doing what he's doing.
But Frank's point is very valid, though. You don't keep clean sheets from your four defenders and your goalkeeper. Mm. Just like you don't score a bunch of goals just from your striker. It's how well you have that balance between attacking and defending with 11 players. And there seems to be, in the last month or so, a disconnect between 11 players wanting to defend and I think I'm just going to go try to get a goal here.
Of course, Spurs played their part, Frank, but Liverpool were back to some of the best football that we've seen, haven't we? Compared
60 minutes?
Compared to what we've seen over the last few weeks.
Yeah, definitely. Remember that I predicted a nil-nil because I thought that the two teams would be on holidays, but Liverpool proved me wrong, and they did the job. They were very good for an hour. They were sharp. They had ideas. You know, they were creative. And I want to take Mo Salah as a symbol of something getting good. And remember that Liverpool started to go a little bit down when he got injured, when he came back from the AFCON. And he's really the symbol of how Liverpool works. If he's in a good shape, if he feels the game, Liverpool most of the time wins. And what he created today with his teammates was high level. The last 30 minutes was something else, no 4-0. Naturally, you get a little bit sloppy. They made some changes, and so it's maybe natural that you see Spurs coming back. But overall, they've done the job. They've been professional. They pleased the coach and the fans. And it was it's starting to be nice for the end of Klopp. Of course, they're not going to get what they were expecting, but it's fantastic to see that era finishing that way, I would say.
Liverpool, as you quite rightly say, Frank, not really in the title race. Of course, it is now between Arsenal and Manchester City. Yesterday, both teams registering victories. Of course, Arsenal still have that 1-point lead. They've got two games to play. Manchester City with three matches remaining. They are favourites to make it four in the row. Of course, the first team to ever do that. Let's just remind you who's got what. Arsenal away against Manchester United next weekend. Final game at home against Everton. For City, they're away against Fulham, away against Spurs, then home against West Ham. We kind of always thought it was who's going to blink first, didn't we, Craig? And at the moment, it's quite a strong argument to say neither are.
No, so that is going to end up City are in the driving seat in that respect. So hard to see both sides look strong, don't they?
Yes,
very strong.
Both
sides. So peaking at the right time.
You know, a couple of little things for Arsenal here and there in the last couple of months that is probably going to cost them. But you know, unless City slip up, I can't see it. I mean, Tottenham are, you know, dishevelled at the moment. They look as if they've run their race. West Ham got pummeled, absolutely pummeled today. Yeah, we'll get to that. And who was the other game?
Everton is the Arsenal game.
Fulham.
I'm talking about City. Fulham. Yeah, I'm thinking about City.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fulham away, I believe it is. I mean, you can never say never. But if I was in the Arsenal dressing room, I would be concerned that
they're going to run the table.
They're just going to run the table.
Do you agree, Frank?
I have to agree. I mean, the past have shown us that City, when they put the fourth gear, you know, at the end of the Premier League, they always get it. Yeah, it's they have to be tuned in for four games still, and but they can manage to do so, and they proved again in the past that they can do it. I mean, I want to see what will be the behavior of Manchester United as well against Arsenal. Mm-hmm. Because it's I think the Manchester United fans will be, I don't know if they'd be more happy to see City winning or less sad to see City winning or Arsenal. I think, again, and I say that last season, City yet doesn't have enemies. Nobody can like Arsenal if they are Chelsea or if they are Manchester United. Nobody loves Manchester United if they are Chelsea or Arsenal. I get those examples. But it's like nobody cares about City. They are creating the history, but it doesn't belong to the past. So the haters, they're not there yet, you know, on the field and out of the field. So I think Manchester United will fight to make sure that Arsenal doesn't get the job.
I think you're talking nonsense. I think if you live in Manchester and you support Manchester United, there's no way you want to see Manchester City do something that your team has never, ever done, and that's win four titles in a row. And if you can prove to be the thorn in the side of that, then I think...
Man United haven't got any fight.
So are you saying that Manchester United players will let Arsenal win to get the title?
No, I'm saying that I don't think the players will, but you're talking from a fan's perspective, you don't have enemies. I think there's definitely enemies between United and City.
I didn't see the interview, but Erik ten Hag.
What's he done now?
He gave an interview apparently to Gary Neville, and everybody now thinks he's the second coming of Trapattoni.
Oh.
Oh, it's like, you know, Gary Neville sat down with him apparently, and everyone in that side of the northwest of England basically kissed his backside about, oh, he's had all the injuries and had this and he's forward thinking. I'm like, oh my God, it's absolutely. Crazy. I mean, it really is. I can't get my head around it.
I haven't seen that.
Can I go back to...
Well, I do know you've got Manchester United into this conversation.
Well, you know, the usual busybodies were lauding over it. But let me go back to Man City. The Premier League are a disgrace. Right? Once again, we have... And I'm not taking anything away from City players here. Or the manager. They're a great side. Right? The Premier League are a disgrace. Four titles in a row. They have 115 charges... But the Premier League are happy to go about with the biggest boxing gloves they've got on and punch the lights out of the Nottingham Forest and the Evertons of this world and Leicester City, who are coming back up. And yet, for how long now, they've had 115 charges and yet they've done nothing.
Better lawyers.
It's an absolute disgrace what they are doing to the... We don't even know the relegation yet about appeals and all that goes with it. Right? These clubs, some of them, when they go down, and we've seen it, we've seen Birmingham go down from the Championship to League One. Sheffield Wednesday almost went down with them. Two clubs that have been in the Premier League. These clubs like Nottingham Forest, Luton, Burnley, Sheffield United, they struggle when they go down, even with parachute payments because of salaries and whatnot. And then we have the Premier League sitting there on its backside, kowtowing to a club with 115 charges. It's not on. I'm sorry. But it's not on, and it just makes a mockery of this league.
And for all the news coming out from the Premier League is it won't be resolved before the end of the season.
No, but everything else has been resolved.
Yeah, it's easier to pick on the little guys. Meanwhile, elsewhere, we saw Brighton taking on Aston Villa today.
This is the little guy.
I know, it's speaking from experience, I tell you. Brighton against Villa. Villa, of course, were in action midweek in that 2-2 draw in the... Conference League. In the end, Brighton would win this one by 1-0, and it'd be through a penalty.
It's a penalty. And you know, it's hard to pick up how much contact, but you'll see here, there's the left boot comes in. He clearly catches him, Casey, yeah?
Just comes across him. You see the leg come in and catch him. But
yeah.
It's tough. I mean, obviously, you don't like to concede late in a match, but...
Joao Pedro sees his penalty saved.
Well, Robin Olsen, who's in for Martinez,
he had a good game.
Yeah,
he made some nice saves.
Made a lot of good saves, and there's not a lot he can do about this, really.
Yeah, it's just unlucky.
Brighton then get a victory. They've had a rough few months, obviously. Aston Villa focused clearly elsewhere. They were far from at the races today. But the way things have worked out, it's been a good weekend for them because they are 7 points clear of Spurs. with two matches to go to play. Spurs, of course, have got three games. You could take a look at the run-in and we can discuss whether or not it's going to happen, but I think it's pretty much guaranteed now that it will be Aston Villa in the Champions League next season. Spurs looking to guarantee fifth and a place in the Europa League. And I think that's fair, isn't it, from Aston Villa, what we've seen this season?
Absolutely.
They've been the fourth best team in the league.
Absolutely. They haven't been at times as swashbuckling as Spurs, but they've been more of a better hybrid where they've played nice attacking football, but they've been more solid defensively. They've had their moments, of course, where they've let themselves down. They had a great home record for a long period,
yes.
I think until Newcastle went there and won. They completely battered City at Villa Park. He has done a great job, Champions League, extra money. I don't know how much he'll get to spend, but if the Villa board don't trust this guy, of all the recent managers I've had, they're never going to trust anybody because his coaching credentials and the way he goes about it, it is excellent, and absolutely, they deserve to get fourth, and I think it's the first time in I don't know how many years that they're back in with it. Don't forget, they were European champions back in the day. It seems like a long time ago, but yeah, they deserve it.
Yeah, but and then when you have them, kind of have those little wobbles, obviously, then their nearest contender has gone in a tailspin that could catch them. So that also has benefited. But yeah, I think when you look at both Spurs and Villa, you're looking at two sides that, okay, which one of it is going to take it? And it was almost the case of which one of it didn't want to take it. And as a former Spurs player, unfortunately, it was Spurs that had the biggest problem. And then Villa were able to get a result or two and then call it good.
Again, Villa were in the title race for a while, but
were they?
Exactly. And I think, again, they've found the level and that's been, that's okay.
Yes.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I know nobody wants to, you'd rather finish first or second than be up there, but, fourth or fifth is where they are, and Unai Emery, it's absolutely terrific.
It's fantastic. I mean, for Villa,
you're the fans, you've got Champions League football this season. It's perfect.
Fantastic.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Can you remember the last time you had fun on a bike ride? Lectra e-bikes, the number one seller of e-bikes in America, is here to bring fun and joy back to biking. Their riders routinely say they feel like kids again riding these bikes, and one even said, "I'm a 46-year-old man and can honestly say I haven't had this much fun on a bike since I was 10 years old." These e-bikes from Lectric are fast, up to 28 miles an hour. They offer lightweight and foldable e-bikes so you can easily take them on the go to explore national parks, campgrounds and more. Even if you don't have a truck, trailer or bike rack, many of their models will fit in the trunk of a car. They also offer long-range batteries that provide over 65 miles of range so you can explore further and longer. Head over to electricebikes.com today and take their bike quiz to find a model that's perfect for your needs. That's electricebikes.com. Chelsea's fine end to the season continues. They would thrash West Ham by 5-0 on Sunday at Stamford Bridge. And that victory then puts them above Manchester United on goal difference. United in action tomorrow away against Crystal Palace. And just 2 points off Newcastle. 6 away, though, from Spurs in fifth. Frank, you'd love it if your old boys would play West Ham every week. It'd be easy.
Oh, my God, we'll be champion and we'll be fantastic, And we will never talk about inconsistency, but they did great. Congratulations to Pochettino and the way they're finishing the season. They work hard and it's nice. you know, it could have been, I don't want to underestimate their performance, but it could have been another story if Bowen had scored instead of hitting the post at 1-0. But yeah, it is what it is. Chelsea deserved 100% to win. I love the spirit. I love the what Palmer is doing and how he's finishing the season and what he produced for the Olsen for his first season. Hopefully he's going to be with the England team for the Euro. Otherwise, it would have been such unfair. But otherwise, everybody did the job. Gallagher is, he's not the perfect, you know, guy you would save that, but he works so hard in the middle of the park. He gives 200% every game that he plays. He scores goals, he defends, he tackles and everything. I love that spirit. It's the spirit that that brings help to the others. It's also a model for the youngest. So I was pleased with the performance, and I was very disappointed with West Ham, you know, especially centre backs and Ogbonna. I think he was not there on the pass of Chaloba for Madueke on the third goal, I think. That was crazy, or the fourth goal, sorry. And Paqueta, Kudus, fantastic players. We didn't see them.
No.
Only Bowen tried something, but the others, I can't believe that. West Ham, they have to show more than that.
I think if there is any thoughts about, and I know there was going to be talk about David Moyes' job has been all season, really, about the style of playing and whatnot. But to go back to Chelsea, if there is any thought process about possibly getting rid of Pochettino, and I don't know if there is or isn't, because these people that run this club, you've no idea, right? They could do it in a heartbeat. Well, they might not. I don't know. But this end of season spurt helps them to say, listen, young players, you know, starting to hit a bit of form. Give me a bit of time. And even he gave a press conference this week that was a little suggestive that he wasn't sure himself what's going to happen.
No.
And so this certainly can't hurt. And just saying, listen, this again, a bit like the Tottenham scenario, it's a mess, it's been a mess, you guys have caused it, really,
right?
And I just need a bit of time, and this at least is showing that he's kind of going in the right direction.
But you know, you talked about this before the season started, you know, down in LA and stuff like that.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
I know it was a long time ago. But what we were doing, we were looking at this.
Too busy caring for Shaka in LA.
Saving Shaka's life.
Yeah.
What a hero.
You are a hero.
What a hero.
You are a hero. But we're looking at this squad and we're saying, Frank, is this the squad that you guys had that were winning titles? Right. And you're going, no, this is nowhere near that. Okay, now you're getting some pieces that are coming through that you're saying, you know what? If you can then, you know, bring in a Zola or a Drogba or a, you know, a Michael Ballack or a Michael Essien or whatever, now you can bring some pieces in and you can start to maybe have conversations again. But in fair play, how's that going to happen?
Yeah, but Casey.
Yeah, where's the funding to do that?
Yeah, the funding and also the willing of that. Mm. I mean, with their trade business idea, it doesn't go into their head. They don't know. They don't understand that they need those players that you name, kind of, you can find. Maybe not paying like crazy money, but Thiago Silva is about to go. You need somebody to replace him. Disasi, Badiashil, Chaloba have a great and a bright future, but they need to be helped by somebody with experience. And I've been screaming about that for the entire season, that in the spine, and I'm not talking on the side, Reece James, Chilwell, well, they've been injured, but they are on the side. But on the spine, you need people like you name, like the Asian. Yeah. The Terry,
where's
the Zola,
John Terry,
the
where's Frank Lampard, where's, you know, where's that? Yeah, exactly, 100%. And, okay, you can bring some nice pieces. Now, you say, you know, Gallagher and Palmer, and, yeah, that's nice, and maybe here, okay. But, yeah, Frank, where's those stars?
They need a big striker. I don't mean a big striker. They need a proper striker. And don't care if Nico Jackson scores every game between now and the end of the season. And they got four centre-halves, as you talked about, you know, Disasi, Badiashile, Chalobah and Caldwell. So they've got to decide if that, those four are going
and
to
Fofana.
Be...
And Fofana.
And Fofana. If these centre-halves are going to be experienced enough. Injury problems for Chilwell, injury problems for Reece James. They've got some stuff, still a lot to sort out. Let's see if they do that in the summer.
A word on David Moyes. His contract's up at the end of the
David
season.
David Moyes is a real interesting one here. I feel we should get Don on.
Yeah.
Because Don's going apoplectic about this. And I can see both. I really can see both sides to it. Right, look. Where do we sit? Do West Ham play good football in general compared to a lot of the other teams? No, they don't, right? They don't. And West Ham fans are pining to have something more exciting. And I see Don fighting this battle on Twitter with people like, you know, where do you want to be? Exciting football when they're down in the bottom four or five of the Premier League, fighting for your life every year, maybe getting relegated, which they have been, or a bit more stoic in their approach, but they've won a European trophy.
Mm-hmm.
They've been in, you know, fighting for Champions League places at times. It's a difficult scenario because... I think he's done a very, very good job there. However, the modern-day fan, for me, I think pines more for something tangible for the season ticket and what they pay, more exciting football. Mm. And I get the feeling that's the way West Ham will try and go.
We'll find out, of course, at the end of the season, the destiny of Dave Moyes' future. Frank, we'll let you go. You will be back, though, for extra time. What a treat for everyone. You can check that out. Look at that crew.
Wow,
look how small Seb is. Be sure to check out our YouTube channel.
Deflection.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bayer Leverkusen two games away then from making history. Another game in which they avoided defeat. In fact, they thrashed Eintracht Frankfurt on Sunday by 5-1. Let's get some reaction from Xabi Alonso.
Xabi, 5-1 at the place where, in your second game in charge, you lost 5-1. A nice bit of symmetry for you there, I guess. What did you make of the result and the performance from your team today?
Yeah, both were great. I think that we have played a really serious game. For sure, the result is kind of spectacular, but, you know, the performance has been more disciplined, more serious. We got our chances. We scored in very important moments. For sure, the second goal of Patrick after the great chance they had, it was really important. In halftime, we have spoken what we needed. And, you know, we were quite disciplined. We didn't concede much and waiting to get those chances. And the players did really well, the staff as well from the bank. It was really easy to communicate and that they were showing and telling the players the tactical things that we were watching. So no one was missing the guy that normally is on the bench.
Of course, Xabi Alonso was serving a touchline ban because of all the yellow cards he's picked up this season. Confirmation then, two games to go. And if they avoid defeat, that's it. History made. Will they do it?
I think they will. Yeah, I mean, the attitude, for several matches, you know, not several, but I mean, it is several matches from starting with match day 4 where The amount of goals they've scored to win or draw games in stoppage time is crazy. And that shows a team spirit, and it shows obviously a depth of squad where you're bringing in subs and they're impacting results. And the one thing I really enjoyed about a lot of the commentary from both the players and from Xabi Alonso after the match was it's really refreshing that it's very egoless. It's not, look at what I've done for this. It's, I know I can improve on this, and I'm trying to get better at that. I'm doing that for the team, and we really want to do this. And, you know, it's not the manager saying the players didn't do what I tell them to do. And you see, when they listen to me, we win games. And no, it's like it really feels like it's being done the right way and it's being rewarded. And I just don't see in the confidence they have, the quality that they have from start to. They made 8 changes in this game to start the match.
Do you think it helps?
I mean, if Bayern Munich were to do this, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
If Bayern Munich would have to have done, and any time of the, how many titles was it, 11 times?
11 in a row, yeah.
11 in a row. If at any point during that time, had they done this, people would have been thinking it's the greatest thing. You know, I was like, it's just incredible. But for Leverkusen to do it with a novice manager, having lost Boniface, their main striker. Yeah, they have Patrick Schick, who's had injury problems. But they lost Boniface, who was flying for a long period. They coped with that. Mm-hmm. They made quite a few changes to their lineup during the season. It's chopped and changed. It hasn't been like a set of 11 or 12 players. And that has been amazing. But to go unbeaten thus far, and hopefully they go all the way. And one of the reasons it's incredible is, and I know we talk about other leagues and blah, 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 but Germany's a strong league. There's a lot of solid...
It's a reason why they got the fifth Champions League spot.
There's a lot of solid teams in the Bundesliga. Rock solid. Technically very good. Bayern Munich this year, not one of them. But
still find themselves in a Champions League semi-final for being terrible.
You know, it's, even when I'm in my time at Celtic, where the Scottish League is not... and strong, nowhere near it in terms of depth. And even we'd go away with a very good side, a side that won the league, and go, how did we lose at St Johnston? How did we lose at Motherwell? But to go away to some of these grounds that they've been to in this standard of league is I think it's a bigger achievement if they do it than what Arsenal did.
And not
I think Arsenal.
But not only,
side.
But they're also still in Europe. They also have a very, very good chance of winning Europa League as well. So you're.
What's a bigger achievement, going the whole season unbeaten, or Leicester winning the Premier League?
Well, I think, of course, Leicester.
Yeah, Leicester.
But I mean, you're talking 4,000-1.
No, I tell you what, Bayer Leverkusen to go season unbeaten to win the German Cup, the Europa League, and the Bundesliga.
Yeah, but Bayer Leverkusen were expected to be fighting for the top four.
Yes, right. Yeah, but
and have
Leicester. What were they expected to be?
No, that's very true. Yeah,
the accomplishment's insane.
To go invincible.
Because when your nickname for 100 years was Neverkusen, and then you don't only finally win your first championship, but you do it in a way that none of the greatest Bayern Munich teams of all time have ever been able to do it. So you have done something that is truly remarkable. 100%.
We've already up my. Somebody's upset Man United fans already. We've not even talked about them properly. Upset Man City fans because they said their charges.
Right.
I'm going to upset Arsenal fans now as well because this is much better than what Arsenal did.
With that Invincibles?
Yeah, because look at the Invincible side.
Yeah.
Look at the side.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Bayer Leverkusen have done with this group of players, not to take anything away from them, but that Invincible side was quality from the back to the front. It was world beaters.
Yeah.
It's not... Leverkusen are playing like world beaters. So that's a bigger achievement for me than Arsenal. I hope Arsenal fans hate that.
A lot more
that up your jump.
A lot more reaction to what we've seen in Germany over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to go over to ESPN FC and subscribe.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Craig and Casey, Frank will be back as well to answer your questions on Extra Time. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Of course, the Miami Grand Prix is going on. Was finished now during our time here. My wife has just texted me the winner.
I've no idea why.
Excuse why me. Would you do that? I was saving it for this evening. I'm not going to say anything, of course, who won it.
But if you wait, if you destroy it for me.
I'm going to call you.
If you now destroy it for me, I'm going to break all the everything in this room.
I promise you, I won't. She doesn't even like F1. Why would you do that?
I tell you what, just. Tell you what, that's it. Divorce her.
That's it. It's like rounds with divorce.
I mean, it's going to cost you a lot of money, but damn it, I'll be worth it.
Damn it.
Because then you'll have nobody to tell you who won the Grand Prix.
Exactly,
you just go home to your lonely little life.
Alone.
Sad, but happy.
Yeah, sad, but happy. Frank LaBeouf is here. Hello, Frank. How are you?
Going to watch it?
Yeah, I'll watch it still.
Because I wasn't involved, I was watching the Grand Prix, so the winner is...
He was watching it after he came off.
He's taking it out. Okay,
Do you remember, Craig, he already bulged up the rugby for me.
Oh, was that Frank?
Yeah, France. I was going home to watch France with somebody.
Yes.
And then... Big mouth come in and went,
but that was a great race. That was a great race.
They beat and I'm like,
don't say anything about the race. Right. Okay, let's take a look at the questions, shall we? I don't have them here. Let's see what's coming up. Here they come.
Oh, a question.
Exciting. Let's have a look at the question.
You don't know the question?
For the panel, how excited would Paul Mariner be with Ipswich Town being promoted to the Premier League? He had a good day yesterday, actually, because Plymouth stayed up.
Yep.
One of his former sides as well. Pompey, of course, got promoted earlier on in the season.
But yesterday, as we were doing the broadcast, you saw throughout the stands, you know, they kept filming the Ipswich legends.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all knew that Paul should have been, you know, in that crowd.
Yes,
you know,
most definitely.
With the Ipswich legends and celebrate the tremendous achievement of, you know, back-to-back promotions to get back to the Premier League in 22 years. So, yeah, Paul's missed for sure.
Yeah, he would probably have been there, wouldn't he, along
with... Oh, had to be. Yeah, for sure.
You know, all the people from that era of the 80s. And as I said, when Casey was in the commentary, I was in the studios, you know, and I said on the broadcast, I get it, you know, a lot of younger viewers watching the game now don't remember, but I think they would find it hard to believe that some of the great, and I include Maros in this, some of the greatest 100%. Players that have ever graced the English game or the British game played for Ipswich Town. When they went to the World Cup, England in 1982, I love the 82 World Cup.
82, the VHS that you had.
The 82 World Cup, when Sir Bobby Robson was the manager. Ipswich Town had three players in the England team, including the captain. Terry Butcher, Mick Mills was the captain, and up front for England that day was our mate Maros.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they were an amazing... But the big man would have been there, pinstripe suit on.
Yes.
Oh, well.
Crisp shirt, big glass of red wine. He'd have loved it.
Very much. And I saw you went viral.
Really?
Yeah, people kept sending me pictures of Ed Sheeran celebrating and you're on the TV behind. Analyzing the game. Ed Sheeran's a singer.
Who's Ed Sheeran?
You know it. People are like, look, it's great. I was like, I don't care.
Why did he just play with Ed Sheeran? Does he know the Miami result?
Well, that's why he was there, wasn't he? Anyway.
Yeah, well,
right. Okay, right, next question. Who is having a better season, Kai Havertz or Nico Jackson?
Oh, God, and Bennett. Havertz by a long way.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the tough part about Jackson is the amount of chances. You know, that
he's messed.
That he really, truly could have had. A breakthrough season if he was just a little.
But Frank, you love Chelsea. He's got more goals than Kai Havertz.
Yeah, but I'm with the guys. You know, the beginning of the season of Havertz was horrendous. That's clear. But he's been very good for a while now, and he's been at the same level as his teammates. So, and yes, we are frustrated with Nicolas Jackson. Nicolas Jackson could have easily scored 30 goals this season, easily. So it's why we have to say Nicolas Jackson.
Problem is, for Chelsea, they had nobody else because Nkunku was injured. This guy was going to come in as Superman. He was going to come back and save them. That never happened. But Nico Jackson didn't have to play, but he basically played because they were short in numbers in that position. The best thing that happened to Havertz was the injuries and loss of form to Eddie Nketiah and Gabriel Jesus, because that forced Arteta's hand.
Yeah.
Because he was stubborn and trying to keep playing him in the middle of the park, and it was pretty average. They've been much better since he's gone up front, and he's been much better in that position.
Okay, next question. Dun, 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 dun. Here we go. Yep. Frank, with Chelsea's squad coming back to full strength and them playing good football, do you think we have what it takes to be more consistent and compete next season?
No. And I said it during the show.
Think about it, Frank.
No. It's just there is something. More being more consistent? No. They are still inconsistent. That's why scares me the most. We don't know where to stand. It's getting better, of course. Three games. You can even say that the Arsenal defeat was an accident, if you see what happened before and after. But we will still face the same issues. And I say that during the show. If the club doesn't get more experienced players, you're going to face that again for maybe one or two seasons.
If you're the new Liverpool manager, how long do you give Darwin to come good before considering moving him on? If Salah leaves and he doesn't begin the season with buckets of goals, wouldn't it be time for drastic measures? We paid a lot of money for him. You're not going to get that back.
Yeah, well, yeah. And then the idea is then how much money are you going to spend to be able to replace Salah and him and other pieces that need to be freshened up if you want to be back consistent with winning the title again. So, that's going to be a tough one.
I mean, he comes in. Anybody who's underperforming or he's not going to be able to rely on, he's going to have to make changes. I mean, Klopp would have had to have, if Klopp was staying, he would have had to have been thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
As much as he likes him, and
right.
he's an honest, hard-working, and he gets his quota of goals, he's gets a bit frustrating, so he'll have to make big decisions. What the hell's happening with your Barnet today?
I don't know, I need to get it cut tomorrow.
You run out, you can't afford fudge, gel, anything?
Fudge?
Hair gel, hair.
You put fudge in your head.
What do you put in that?
I don't know, whatever the girl put in it today.
You don't do your own hair?
No, they're doing a makeup.
You're very precious.
They're doing a makeup, do they?
Well, you don't your hair. What if you're not in at work?
Well, then I just don't do it.
You don't put anything in your hair?
No.
Well, in case I'm not.
Frankie, come on, man. We'll just go, we'll go sit in the corner where these two have a discussion.
Yeah. That's not for our business.
We'll have a Kit Kat and a couple of
we don't want to be involved in that.
Come back.
Yeah. Well.
Frank, Klopp has said that Slot can give him a call if Slot wanted to talk about anything regarding Liverpool. Is that a good idea for Slot to talk to Klopp about the club, or should he go in fresh without any preconceived notions?
Well, it depends on what the club wants to decide. Sorry. If this club decides to get rid of most of the players, yeah, you can go for a refreshment of your dressing room. But if they keep the spine and the most players, yeah, I think he should call Klopp and ask him for advices, and he knows what's going on in the dressing room. He knows who the leaders are and who can change something maybe in the dressing room, outside of the field. So it's always important to know everything, and I think Klopp knows everything. So it can be a very good idea if the club decides to not getting rid of Salah, Van Dijk, for example. That can be useful.
Casey,
why wouldn't you give?
That was it. Go ahead.
Why wouldn't you give the manager a call at the end of the year and find out what the lie of the land is?
Definitely.
And then you have to make your own decision. Yeah,
100%.
Yeah. But you know,
you'd be a fool not to, really.
You
know,
well, if you have an option for more knowledge, why would you take less?
What problems has he found this season or whatever behind the scenes? Players training, players not. Is there a problem with the medical department? Is there not a problem with the medical department? All that sort of stuff. scouting, and then he'll go, okay, yeah, yeah. And he, so he knows that, and then he makes his own decisions.
Don't worry about this guy Monday through Thursday, you know, because you know on Saturday he's going to give you 100%. You know, just have a little bit of institutional knowledge.
Yeah.
Gee, why would you not?
Casey, let's talk goalkeeping.
Uh-oh.
Which shot is more difficult to save? The low corner when you have to get down, or the top corner where you have to get up?
There's this little thing called gravity.
Right.
And the hardest thing, or, you know, in physics, is to go up and out.
Okay.
So if I'm going in the upper corner, I there's a point where gravity is going to be pulling me down away from the ball. So it's easier to get down than it is to get up.
Oh, I like it. It's a science lesson as well.
There you go.
Craig, how challenging is it to keep a strong mentality for the last few games of the season if you're a team with nothing to play for?
Very.
Very.
Yeah, looking holidays.
Very, very, very. Yeah.
Very, yeah. Very.
You're already going, right.
Yeah.
And this is amazing, the players do this. They go, have you seen when they've got us back in for preseason?
And there's three games left and you're mid-table going.
Yeah, but, yeah. But guys, nowadays, you know, you only have like two or three teams who are struggling, you know, with the end of the season, because the first eight they fight, or the first ten they fight for even the Conference League, you know, cup,
right.
And the bottom one they fight to not be relegated. So it's almost nobody who has nothing to play nowadays because of the good thing that you can have at front and the relegation you could get at the back.
It's a pain in the butt, isn't it, really, these days, because back, let's call it the good old days, you had that period off, be it 6 weeks or, I mean, back, really back in the good old days, you're stretching, you've got a couple of months.
Yeah. Right.
And then we noticed it all getting shorter and shorter, and you go, oh my God, we're back in July the whatever, and you'd be like, oh, can't start thinking about it, the season's not even finished. Nowadays, I believe most of them, they have all these sports scientists, they check up on them so that their physical condition...
Really?
So that it doesn't go from there to there. So they try and keep it somewhere here so it's
easy. Have to always wear that sports vest everywhere they go then, when they're on holiday.
You got a big white mark when you get a big mark when you try to get a tan. Yeah. Might as well put one over your head. You know?
I had a teammate
and there too.
Instead of coming in like on a Sunday for a regen, they would, you know, give the belt, and then you were supposed to go for a run or do something like that, and then they'd get the data. Well, his neighbor always went for a run on Sunday morning.
Yes, take that.
And he would come by the house and hand him the belt, and he would put it
onto the dog
and go for his run.
Final question, Craig. Who's getting promoted from the playoffs? Leeds, Southampton, West Brom, or Norwich?
Well, it's very tight. I mean, those four sides. Leeds.
Leeds are in free fall.
Leeds lost to QPR and then lost to Southampton yesterday. That's not a good... They play...
Norwich.
Norwich?
Yeah, Norwich,
yeah. Yeah, because West Brom won, so they leapfrogged Norwich.
Norwich.
There's too much going on.
Yeah, there was a lot going on.
And
that means... You got to think Southampton has a nice little...
They're
feeling better about themselves. West Brom as well.
I can't remember exactly what the stats are, but the team that finishes third has not gone up in a bigger percentage of the time.
Oh,
interesting. So there's no, just because you finished third,
right?
It wasn't really interesting.
Well, that's quite interesting.
But a lot of times what happens is a team that fights to get into the playoffs
has that momentum.
I'm going to say
I only played for
Southampton.
I played for one of the four teams, so I'm going to say Southampton.
Nice one. Here, is, by the way, is the viral video of Craig that has been seen everywhere. Wasn't? Ready? Oh, wait, no, right. What? This isn't it. It's the one with the champagne.
It comes at the end.
Oh, I see. Oh, I didn't see this bit. I just saw the champagne. And there it is. There it is.
Yay! Craig Burley above Ed Sheeran's head.
Oh, what a star.
What a star.
He's a disgrace. Sheeran should be turned to the telly listening to what's been said.
Exactly.
Right.
You're a disgrace, Sheeran.
He's a disgrace. I'm never buying a tape. I'm never going to one of your concerts again.
He's not going to buy any of your tapes or your records. Nothing.
Stick your songs where the sun don't shine.
That is it. Thank you very much. ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. Manchester United are in action. They're away against Crystal
when
Palace.
When I lose, I'm not coming in.
Good. And then we'll be looking ahead, of course, those Champions League matches as well.
Can't believe...